taxi, follow that car. Why is this love so, so, so stop and start? Russell Forster chairs the Department of Ophthalmology in the University of Oxford and is also at the University of WA. And his respect for the rugged lives of taxi drivers is shared by Hugo Spears at the University College London, who's looked into their brains directly to follow up that bump of navigational knowledge we've heard about before.
Let me just reflect on something that Susan Greenfield often says about the ways in which taxi drivers seem to have a larger hippocampus because they've got such knowledge of usually London, an incredible knowledge. In fact, before they come taxi drivers, the idea is that the hippocampus is smaller, and as they learn the information, it gets bigger. Is that story more or less accepted these days?
Well, that's what the research is showing. So Eleanor Maguire and her colleagues in 2000 discovered that when she compared the brains of the structure of the taxi drivers' brains to match control subjects, that within their brains only the hippocampus was different, and the posterior end of it seemed to be bigger, and the anterior end of it seemed to be smaller. So it wasn't just that it was what bit got bigger, it was actually the structure changed. And intriguingly, the right posterior hippocampus got bigger the longer they had spent being taxi drivers. So it seemed to be linked to their experience in the job. Following up on that study, Eleanor has carried on doing a number of studies, and one I was lucky to be involved in with Katia Willett, comparing these taxi drivers' brains to London bus drivers. And London bus drivers are a wonderful group to compare taxi drivers to in that they also have to drive and navigate through London streets, but they don't really have to think about the multitude of possible routes. They have to follow a set route. But they also have to deal with enraged customers, the roar of the traffic and the pollution of London streets. So compared to these bus drivers, the group found the same effect, that the taxi drivers' brains, the posterior hippocampus, was again bigger in this other new sample of taxi drivers. So it appears to be a robust finding that there is some sort of structural change in taxi drivers' brains. And following up on it, it's an intriguing question. And my own research has been looking at how they use the hippocampus, what happens to the activity within that region and other regions around it as the taxi drivers navigate.
Well, of course, as the taxi drivers navigate, it would be a pretty hazardous thing to have it while they're driving through London. So how did you solve that problem?
Yeah, that was a huge challenge. So yes, to get at brain activity, you have to use these magnetic resonance imaging, MRI scanners. And those are huge, big devices that you can't take any metal into. So you certainly can't put one of those in the back of a London cab. So you have to take the world of the London cab and the streets of London inside the brain scanner. And we used a commercial video game, The Getaway, that had been developed by Sony in 2002. Where they'd simulated in a high degree of accuracy London's vast number of streets using ordnance survey maps and all sorts of digital capture software and so on. But we were able to then, using this video game, have subjects, our taxi drivers, drive through this virtual simulation of London and capture in our scanner their fleeting brain activity as they drove through the city.
So what were you trying to find out exactly? You've already established that the hippocampus is bigger. What else did you try to establish?
Well, with these subjects, because they're experts, we were able to verify they would navigate well through these streets with a high degree of accuracy. So we were able to then, for the first time, really look at what happens as individuals navigate in a familiar setting. And what happens from moment to moment prior to this study, we really didn't know anything about what happens as you navigate from second to second. So I was able to pull apart the brain activity, what was happening in these taxi drivers' brains, from second to second. And to do that was another technical challenge, because how do we know what's going on? What's happening to them? And the trick we came up with was, after the taxi drivers had navigated through the virtual simulation, take them out and supply them with lots of tea and coffee and interview them with a video replay of exactly what they had just been doing inside the scanner. In this video replay, I asked them to describe what they remember thinking during the original navigation episode. And from these descriptions of their thoughts across a set of 20 taxi drivers, we could see consistent recurring types of thoughts. And then we could, once we'd identified these, look back and find what was the pattern of brain activity that accompanied those thoughts. So for example, thinking about your destination, how you're going to get there. We saw just in those moments increased activity in the hippocampus, but at no other time in navigation. So this bit of the brain that seems to be, that changes in these taxi drivers, is very active for a very brief moment of navigation in the city, but otherwise silent.
So they set out in the beginning and got their navigation set, and that's done, and the rest is sort of automatic, and they think about beer and sex and whatever else afterwards.
Yeah, we didn't capture a lot of thoughts about beer and sex, unfortunately, in our scanner. I think they were so focused on getting to the destination. But we did capture all sorts of thoughts. So, for example, when they spot something as they didn't expect to see, we see activity in the right prefrontal cortex, another part of the brain, very active during these moments. But conversely, when they saw what they were expecting to see, you know, like the landmark that was going to lead them there, we saw another bit of the brain, the retrosplenial cortex, and other regions active. So those are just some of the examples, but there's a whole range of different thoughts and brain activity patterns we uncovered, including when they, for example, thought about their customers' thoughts. So they're not just navigating and looking at the streets, they're sometimes thinking about other things. And activity during these periods was associated with an area called the posterior superior temporal sulcus, a bit of a mouthful. but it's a part of the brain known to be part of a region of networks involved in social cognition, which neuroscientists are currently obsessively trying to understand, social cognition. And we could see it active in these fleeting moments in our taxi drivers' journeys, engaging as they thought about customers' thoughts. The superior temporal sulcus was very active.
Well, what about the difference between taxi drivers and the rest of us in terms of navigation? Is there anything you can tell us about how effectively to use our brains navigating so that we don't get lost and get mucked up?
Well, surprisingly, there's not a lot. We didn't really compare in this study the taxi drivers directly to non-taxi drivers. I checked that the approach I'd taken worked, and we got the same sorts of thoughts with non-taxi drivers. To all intents and purposes, it seems that you get the same sorts of thoughts. People who aren't taxi drivers, it's just that with taxi drivers, boy, can they bring a lot of information to hand where they need to navigate. They spend 2 to 4 years training to pass an exam in London called the Knowledge, and they drive around little mopeds trying to learn it. And they have all sorts of techniques for imagining moving in their mind's eye through all the streets to picture all the places along the routes that helps them learn. So there are established ways taxi drivers have developed to try and help them learn. But there's nothing like hard graft, getting out there and doing it day after day after day after day, driving through those streets and picking it up. Mm. And one thing our research did show, I think, intrigued me about the taxi drivers is the minimization of effort. You know, they really, a lot of them don't want to waste too much of their time thinking and obsessing about their routes. They've become very efficient at optimizing, just making sure that they think first about which direction they need to go and getting the car in the right direction, then worrying about which major points they need to go through. And, you know, it's something that we'll have to look into in more detail later. Yeah.
Final question, the question of animals. I'm thinking of the godwit that flies from New Zealand 12,000 km through the most amazing distances, obviously, and also knows when to turn left in the North Pacific, and then flies all the way back again and manages to land within just a few K of where it's supposed to be, doing some weather predictions at the same time and surfing on the lows. Now, that's an incredible feat.
No, there's some incredible, remarkable navigational feats that animals can do around the world. And yeah, some of them use the magnetic fields of the Earth to help navigate. Others can sense the current waves under the sea. Sea turtles use the currents in the sea to help them navigate vast distances in straight lines. So above the skies, on the Earth, and beneath the oceans, animals are all making their way vast distances, doing remarkable things. And we use our eyes predominantly and our ears to help us navigate around, I guess. Part of the lecture I'm going to give today at the British Association of Science Festival lecture, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit about how desert ants navigate, because they are absolutely fantastic. These little ants, Cataglyphus, can travel sort of half a kilometre over a featureless desert, scurrying all around in different directions. But then once they find their food, they can return in a nearly dead straight line back to their nest. And it's the kind of thing that scientists marvel at and spend their painstaking time trying to capture little ants and chase them. Well, I've spent my time chasing taxi drivers, who are also quite hard to get to convince to come inside a brain scanner. So yeah, there's a certain parallel there, I think, between trying to capture ants and trying to capture taxi drivers in my life.
Hugo Spears is a research fellow at University College London, and as you heard, gave a lecture on navigation at the British Association Festival of Science in Liverpool.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.